Robbie Romeiser here. I'm excited about today's program, so excited, in fact, that I've included a bonus material for you after the on-air portion of Career Callings finishes playing. I trust you will be blessed, as I have been, by today's featured guest.
You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. This is your host, Robbie Romeiser, and at Career Callings, our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E. At careercallings.net, and also available on podcast platforms like iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. So you're welcome to check out our podcast after we have aired on the radio. So today I have a fantastic guest, very exciting guest, and I'm just eager to speak with. And his name is Dr. Richard Furman. Dr. Furman has over 30 years experience as a vascular surgeon, and he's passionate about helping people prevent the problems that kill over half of all Americans. His unique ability to combine easy-to-follow advice with the latest medical research empowers men and women to achieve and maintain their ideal weight, reduce their risk for life-threatening diseases, make exercise a natural part of their lives, and learn what foods to eat and what foods to avoid. Dr. Furman's experience includes serving as past president of the North Carolina chapter of the American College of Surgeons, past president of the North Carolina Surgical Society, and a two-term governor of the American College of Surgeons. He also co-founded World Medical Mission, the medical arm of Samaritan's Purse, and is a member of the board of Samaritan's Purse. Dr. Furman lives in North Carolina, and he is the brother of a previous guest, Jim Furman Sr., that I had on the show about a month or so ago. So, Dr. Furman, welcome to the program.
Well, good to be with you, Robbie.
I have to ask this question before I get into other questions. Do you have any good blackmail on your brother that you can share with us on the radio today?
Well, I have a little bit, but I better keep that secret.
Oh, man, that's a shame. We always like good, juicy stories on Career Callings, but fair enough. Well, as we've spoken before about where you are in your career, you're retired now, a retired vascular surgeon. Also, something I did not mention in the bio is that you're the author of a book, Prescription for Life, which I am in the midst of reading right now. But before we get there, let me just ask you this question. If you were talking to one of your grandkids right now, or anybody else for that matter, what kind of pointers could you give to them to help them understand how to discern God's vocational calling in their lives?
Well, a lot of that, and I do talk to them a lot about that, but a lot of that is asking for direction. You know, so many times young people go through high school, then they go through college, they get a job, and without ever really asking or thinking about asking for the Lord's direction. I remember sitting at Appalachian State football game one Saturday with a senior student. He was a young Christian. He was going to be graduating in, 8 months or so. And I asked him what he was going to do when he graduated. And he said, well, he was just waiting for the Lord to give him that opening. And I explained to him Proverbs 16:9. I explained that says, in his heart a man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. And I said, you can't wait till you graduate and then start walking. I said, if God's going to direct your steps, you got to make some plans. You can ask Him for wisdom in making those plans, and you want to do that. But you don't just sit around and wait for doors to just magically open. God says he will direct your steps. You got to be moving. So that's what, I don't know, and it's exciting. I look back on my life. Like I said, back in the early 80s, I wanted to, I set goals to, at that time, Golden Corral, you know, the family steakhouse, which is still going now.
Yeah.
Was just starting. I thought, man, that's inexpensive steak. That's something that ought to take off. And I'd always write goals in January of every year for the year. And I had on there Golden Corral Steakhouse in Boone, North Carolina. And I wrote the fella's name down who would be the manager for me. And I also had talked to, you know, just started looking into that. We ended up getting into another steakhouse company that was actually five Christian men were starting it, but it just didn't go well. But I had invested money in it, and that's when I took that proposal to a fellow that was very wealthy to see if he would want to be interested into getting into that steakhouse business. And he started laughing. He said, do you know what family steakhouse, do you know what percent they make in profit? And I said, no, I had no idea. And he said, he explained to me very low, and he said, do you know what Wendy's makes? And I said, no, and it was about four times as much in net profit. And he said, you don't want steakhouse, you want Wendy's. And so that's how we started into the Wendy's. But my first step was setting that goal to have a Golden Corral Steakhouse in Boone. And that went to getting in with another group. And then that went into getting our Wendy's. So the idea is, I think it's important to set goals and to write them down. It's almost magical when you write a goal down. And I put them on my mirror in the bathroom, where every morning when I shaved, I'd see what my goals were, and I would aim, you know, I'd aim for those goals. But I think that's advice I'd give is, no matter what age, but to have goals, to ask the Lord to help you set those, but to ask him to direct your steps, because it won't always be exactly as you plan out. But that would be probably one of the main things I would encourage people to do is set goals and get started on.
That makes so much sense, and I'm so glad you shared that, because I mean, you, based on the way I heard you say it, and correct me if I'm wrong, you would have never ended up in Wendy's had you not already had some plans to go after the steakhouse concept, Golden Corral, et cetera. So it's just a great example of how the Lord does direct your steps. And reminds me of the passage in the New Testament when Paul's writing about how he was going to go into this country, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. And he was going to go into this country, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. And finally, the Holy Spirit directed him to, I believe it was Macedonia, if I remember correctly, in that passage. So very, very, very good. Very good. Now, tell us a little bit more about your book, Prescription for Life, and how you're using that to impact others for Christ, and what encouraged you to write it in the first place?
Well, I guess what got me started, Robbie, was that I'd operated on arteries all my surgical career, taken plaques, blockages out of carotid arteries. I'd seen blockages in coronary arteries in the heart. And this is what kills over half of Americans, heart attacks and strokes. And there's a particular cholesterol called LDL. I call it the lethal LDL cholesterol, that when you get your cholesterol report back, you see that. But that is something you can control, and you can stop those blockages in their tracks with three lifestyle changes. One's getting to the proper weight. The other is exercising, and the third one is the foods that we eat. Americans tend to eat the wrong foods, and there are proper foods we can eat. They're bad fats we need to avoid, but there are good fats that we need to eat. And so I decided, hey, I've held these plaques in my hand, taking them out of the artery going to the brain, and I need to let people know how to avoid it, how to prevent it. And I tell you, Robbie, I feel like I have helped more people physically than in writing than I ever did operating on it. So that was a big wake up call to me. Was people ought to know that there's things we can do to be preventing that from ever happening.
Well, I tell you, that is something that we all really need to take to heart, because if we lose our health, if we become disabled or debilitated in any way, it at least diminishes in many respects our ability to serve the Lord. In some cases, it could make it almost impossible to. And so we need to really take care of ourselves. And again, I know I was being a little bit joking when I said it earlier, but I am definitely getting a lot out of your book myself and seeing a lot of things I need to change in my own life so that 30, 40 years down the road, 20 years down the road, I can still be physiologically spry enough to keep working on behalf of the Lord with as much energy as I do today. Because likely if I don't change, I won't be able to. So
that's a big thing. You see people getting that are serving the Lord, they're getting older, but you can get 7 to 12 years younger physiologically than your chronological age. And that's what I think that's the platform that we're building on. And the publisher has asked me to write 3 more books. And one is on cholesterol, and the second one is on dementia, on Alzheimer's. And so it all goes, what we're learning, what's good for the heart, is good for the brain. So I would just encourage the listeners to get that and read it. And you ask how that enhances my witness for the Lord. At the end of each of these books, I put a little story about how the Lord has worked in medicine to bring people to glorify Him. So it all goes hand in hand.
Back in a minute with more with Dr. Richard Furman. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings. audibletrial.com/careercallings. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources. I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you.
You're listening to Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back to Career Callings, 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649. Or Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net. Welcome back to our interview with Dr. Richard Furman. Dr. Furman, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but I want to ask this question just in case. Have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if so, tell us a little bit about that and how you reacted to it.
Yeah, I can't say that I've been challenged to my faith because but I have had to ask myself the question, am I witnessing for the Lord? Now, my first mission trip was to India, and got over there, I was witnessing to Hindus, and all of a sudden I realized there was probably the patient that in my whole career, the one patient that appreciated what I had done for him the most was this elderly gentleman who was Hindu. They weren't doing pacemakers in India at the time, and I got a pacemaker company in the U.S. to donate 50 pacemakers that I took over there and to teach surgeons how to put them in. But when I got there, I realized they were at end stage in Boone, North Carolina. Someone come in with for a pacemaker. They're healthy. Their heart's not beating quite as fast occasionally, and you put it in and that's it. But over there, this has been going on for years, and all of them are in heart failure. One patient died the day before I got there, the day I got to India. There was one lady I had to resuscitate her twice on the ward before we put the pacemaker in. So these were in stage, and this gentleman really appreciated me saving his life. And he was Hindu, and he told me that he understood. I told him I'd like to talk to him about the Lord, and he said, "Well, I understand Christians believe that there's only one way to heaven." And he said, "But there's one God. And whether you're Hindu or Buddhist or Muslim or Christian, we can all go there." And he said, "This hospital has three gates to it. It has a main gate in the front and two side gates around the wall." And he said, "If I had come into the side gate, you still would have put the pacemaker in me and saved my life." And I smiled, and I knew what he was saying, but I said, "Let me come back tomorrow. And I'll talk to you in the morning," because he was going to be discharged the next morning. Robbie, that night, I got down my Bible and I asked the Lord to show me a verse to give to him, because I knew he was wrong, but I didn't know how to explain it to him. Mm-hmm. And I started reading the book of John. I got to John 14:6. It says, "Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me." I closed the Bible. I took it back to him and I said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And he smiled. He said, "Oh yes, he was a great man." I said, "Do you believe he was God's son?" He said, "Oh yes." He said, "I believe he was God's son." He said, "I believe I'm God's son. I believe you're God's son."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, do you believe what he said?" And he said, "Oh yes, he was one of the best prophets, one of the best speakers there was." And I said, "Well, let me give you this one verse." And I read it to him. Jesus said, I said, "Now this is what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me." I said, that excludes all the Hindu gods you have. That excludes Buddha. That excludes Islam. I said, "Now, that's if you believe the Bible." I said, "You don't have to believe that. You may not believe the Bible, and that, you know, that's fine with me, but I'm just saying this, this is what it says. And, that Jesus says he's the only way." Well, he smiled at me and he said, "I never thought of it like that."
Mm.
And he didn't convert then, but the anesthesiologist who was Hindu, who was my interpreter, as we walked out of the hospital that morning, he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Dr. Furman, what you were telling him, I now believe."
Amen.
So it gets a chance to talk to someone about the Lord, but I realized, hey, I didn't talk to people back in Boone, North Carolina like that. Because as in the Bible Belt, they knew I was a deacon at the church, and, you know, that it's a small town, so, you know, how can I witness? I decided I'd start witnessing to all my cancer patients. So I would ask them, "Would you like to discuss eternity?" And I knew that anyone who has cancer, it has to enter their mind what happens when I die. But I never had anybody that didn't say, yes, they'd like to talk about eternity. And I would, I'd say, okay, it would be in my examining room, and I'd point to the door to the room, and I'd say, "Okay, let's say that's the door to heaven, and that you died right now." And then I'd smile and say, "That has nothing to do with your future, with your disease, but I'm just asking you the question. Let's say you died right now. You knocked on the door to heaven, they opened it. What would you say that would make them let you in?" And I'd say about 80% would say, "Well, I sure hope I've done more good than bad."
Yep.
Then I'd hand them a Bible. I'd have that John 14:6 underlined. I'd pull up my prescription pad out of my pocket and I'd write John 14:6. And I'd tear the prescription off and hand it to them. And I said, "This is the answer." And I'd go over that with them. That Jesus was the only way, that he was the only assurance we would get into heaven. So that it has made me aware that our work is our witness.
Yep.
I wanted to be the best surgeon possible, so I would have a platform that they'd listen to me. And I wanted to be the best at what I did. And I think, and this is what I tell my children and grandchildren, that you want to build that platform to where you're the best at what you're doing, so you can be your work is your witness. So when you say something about the Lord, they'll listen to you.
That's great advice. And every single one of us can examine what we're doing in our career and find a way to share the gospel with people the way you did. It may not be as, how do I say? I shouldn't say it that way. I was about to say it's not as impactful. It can be just as impactful. It'd be a different scenario, a different way of delivering the gospel is what I'm trying to get at. But we all have that way if we'll just prayerfully obey the Lord's calling to share the word of God. I appreciate you sharing that with us. And have two or three other questions I'd like to ask you. Number one, do you have a personal habit? I think you kind of alluded to this a little earlier in our interview, but do you have a personal habit, one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that has driven so much of your career success?
Well, I think there's a verse that there's a passage at Genesis 24:19 that is when Abraham is sending his servant to get Isaac a wife, and that was Rebekah. But the servant prayed, that God let the woman that does more than is expected be the one for his wife. And that was that was Rebecca. It was expected for women to offer men water from the well, but it wasn't expected to water their camels. And his direct prayer was, let the lady who says, I'll give you water and I'll water your camels, also be the one for him to marry. And so I just think that's the principle that goes with everything that you do, whatever job. It doesn't matter what job you have, but that you do more than is expected for that job. And that means, you know, you get there early, you stay late, you help out on things that you're not expected to help out on. And I just think that is the key principle in the Bible for success in your work. And like I say, the reason you want to be successful is so you'll have that platform, so when you do say something for the Lord, they'll listen to you.
All right, here's another question for you, Dr. Furman. What one book, other than the Bible, because I'm sure we would both agree the Bible is the number one book we would recommend to someone, but what one book other than the Bible would you recommend to my listeners, and why would you do that?
Well, the one book that has affected me more than any other book outside of the Bible was a book written years ago by Napoleon Hill. It's called Think and Grow Rich. And it just tells you how important it is to set goals and to do your best in what you do. But to me, Robbie, that was, as a matter of fact, I just bought 9 of those copies of that book at the bookstore this past week. I'm going to give one to each of my grandkids. But we've touched on goal setting. I think that's the book that got me first started realizing the significance and importance of setting goals in your life.
It's definitely a good read. I read it some years ago, and now that you're bringing it back up, I might schedule it for a reread. It is definitely a great work on that, on the goal setting and even beyond that. So thank you for sharing that. And then last question for you right now is, I'm sure that a lot of people who are listening would like to learn more about your books and so on. So what's the best way people can connect with you?
The best way would be through prescriptionforlife.com. And, I put a little weekly note in there about how we can improve our health. The whole idea is you want to stay as young physiologically as possible for as long as possible. And when we die, we want to die healthy. But yep. It's just a good reminder of what we mission that the Lord has given us, and that's our health. And so many times we let that go, and it's just not good walking around sense, Robbie, to not take good care of your health. And it's just I would encourage them to go to prescriptionforlife.com and start looking at it, and they may even want to, like you, get the whole book and commit to that. But that's the that would be the greatest thing would be to commit to keeping your body as healthy as possible.
Wonderful life-impacting advice from Dr. Richard Furman. Dr. Furman, thank you so much for being with us on the Career Callings Radio Show today.
Well, you're certainly welcome. It's been good to talk with you.
All right. God bless. Talk to you soon. Dr. Furman has a lot of other value to bring to the table, and you can find that value in our special bonus segment of the Career Callings Show via podcast at careercallings.net/radio. So come on over there and check that out, and also get links to the resources we mentioned in this broadcast. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Have a great day, and God bless. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings. Tell us kind of what your career has been like leading you up to where you are in retirement right now.
Well, I was in surgical practice with my older brother, who has passed away with cancer several years ago. But I was in practice in Boone, North Carolina, and did a lot of vascular and thoracic surgery, as well as some general. And then my middle brother, who you mentioned a few minutes ago, Jim, we got started in Wendy's back in 1978, and it's just been a good life with brothers. I'll tell you what, they gave me a watch back in 1987. On the back of it, it had Psalm 115:1, and it says, 33:1, it says, it is how good it is when brothers live together in harmony. Mm. So that's been a good part of my life, is growing up with two brothers that I fought with when I was younger, but we became real brothers as we got older. So I've encouraged anyone to do the same with their brothers or sisters.
Amen to that. Amen to that. You spent most of your career in vascular surgery, and then, of course, the Wendy's was a good part of it. And then at what point in your life did you start becoming an author?
You know, I read a lot of motivational books when I was younger, when I just got out of my training. I was a big Zig Ziglar fan, Earl Nightingale, Napoleon Hill.
Yeah.
And I decided to write, it's called Reaching Your Full Potential. And I think that was back in the early 80s. And it talked about my going through medical school and surgical training, and how I had to set goals, really just referred to, what all I had to do to get through all of that. And maybe we can talk about some of that today, because that's still what I preach to my children and now my grandchildren about setting goals, about how do you get ahead in whatever kind of job you're doing. And get into the part of the Bible, Genesis 24:19, that I call the Rebecca principle,
mm-hmm.
Where more than is expected. But all of those things we can get into. But I, looking back, even in my surgical career, and I've always been excited and interested in getting into different business deals. And this, the deal with my brother in the Wendy's has been very good. And so I'm just thankful for the right kind of direction, and I think a lot of that did go all the way back to just trying to look to the future and how do you get to where you want to be. And that's why I wrote that book in the early 80s, Reaching Your Full Potential. And it sold, I can't believe it, right near 100,000 copies.
Oh, wow.
Amway got a hold of it, and they started ordering. And anyway, that's been a big part of my life, is looking to see what you can be doing to get where you want to go.
In those endeavors, both Wendy's and your authoring, and even in, I would imagine, your surgery. There's, you know, no one person is great at everything. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. And I'm just kind of curious, what is your biggest strength as an entrepreneur, as a business person?
Well, I think if I had to pick a strength, it would be in getting the right people together. Just like with our Wendy's, I'd have no idea how to run a Wendy's, but my brother has taken the business aspect and has run with it very well. But looking back, I think there's so much that I would want to do, but I wouldn't have the ability to do it on my own. But I would find the right people that did have that ability and pull them together. And I think just like in our Wendy's group, I feel like that's my biggest part of it is to keep everybody on the same page and get the right people in the right spot. So that's I think that's important, that nobody's going to know how to do everything in a business, but you can sure find the right people to do it.
Right. And just an offshoot question that just popped into mind here. Let's say you had a business person, or excuse me, a would-be business person, somebody who wants to start a business. They have a passion, they have a vision, something they believe the Lord wants them to do. They understand the concept of, yeah, you need a team to make it happen because one person can't do it all, but they don't have any idea how to start going about finding those right people or funding those right people. Do you have any, I know I'm putting you on the spot with that one, but it just popped into mind. Do you have any advice for someone that would be in such a position?
Well, I don't have any specifics, but I do know that, when I was there in Boone, a fellow came to me and was wanting to build apartments for Appalachian students. He didn't have money. I didn't have money, but I knew that he was the kind of person that would do everything possible to make it happen. And he'd found, a lady who was going to sell her house adjacent to the Appalachian campus. And, I knew he would work, and he knew that I could borrow the money. So, the two of us went to the bank. We borrowed the money and we agreed to not take any money out. And I explained, I was certain I didn't have time to put any time into it, once we got it built. And he and his wife took that part over. We never had anything written down. He's the best partner I ever had, in that kind of situation. But, we didn't take, all we did was pay the bank for 7 years, and it was a success. We had kept it full of students. So I just think finding other people who are willing to work and appreciate your input into it, you can appreciate their input into it, makes a good partnership.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice. That's good advice. Was there ever a time in your life when you were a little bit confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, how did he clear the smoke for you?
Yeah, that's, as I said, I went through cardiac surgery training to be able to take lungs out. You have to also go through the program to be able to operate on hearts, heart valves, bypasses and all of that. And I did that training, and that's sort of the apex of surgery. At that time was doing open heart surgery. But I also wanted to practice in a small town, with my older brother. And of course they didn't have cardiac surgery there. So, I decided to not do cardiac. I just do the pulmonary, the lung surgery, vascular surgery, and then general surgery with him. But after 6 months or so, I really miss the cardiac part. I had a friend in Nashville, Tennessee, who invited me, said, hey, come over here and do cardiac surgery with us. And I told my brother that I really missed the cardiac part of it, and I thought I would just go back and do cardiac surgery. But I was going to take a week over there just to see what it was like. And by the end of the week, Robbie, I remember it was Thursday night, 2 o'clock in the morning. We didn't get to see his children because we didn't get home from the hospital till they were ready to go to bed. And, we got up way before they did in the morning. And I remember asking my friend, is this the way it is on and on? And he said, well, yes, it is. I said, well, what about vacation time? He said, well, they got 4 weeks vacation, but he only took two because they were so busy. And it just, I really felt like the Lord was telling me that's not my life or my family or anything. And it was sort of like I'd gone through all that training, and it's sort of like a failure. Okay, you train for cardiac surgery, but you're not doing it. But I remember flying home that Saturday, telling the Lord that, okay, you must have something better for me to do. And, financially, it was a real blow because, I wasn't making a fraction of what cardiac surgeons were making. But that was, wasn't too long after that we started, in 78, we started our Wendy's and we started World Medical Mission. And both of those have been really my stimulus in my life, to get doctors on the field. We send about 600 doctors a year to Mission Hospitals overseas now through Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham. And then also we've got, that's when we started the Wendy's with my brother. So I just look back and I thank the Lord that I look to him for direction rather than looking purely at the financial aspect, because that's what I was tending to look at when I was comparing what I was doing in Boone as compared to what could be done in Nashville in cardiac surgery.
I tell you, that story just kind of brings to mind something that I learned from reading a book that I've referenced gazillions of times here on the program, and I'm going to reference it again today. It's a business book called Great by Choice by Jim Collins and Morton Hansen. I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not, but they studied over 20,000 companies. They narrowed down to seven pairs of companies, and their purpose was to try to study pairs of companies that were in the same business doing the same thing. During the same time frame, one company didn't do well or maybe even failed altogether, and the other company did 10 times better than the industry index. And one of the key practices of the successful companies was they did something that the authors called firing bullets, then cannonballs. And the idea behind firing bullets, then cannonballs was simply to take baby steps in a direction before you committed all the way, knowing that if you commit all the way and the direction's not the right one, you're going to get burned. But if you take baby steps, then if it becomes obvious you're not supposed to do that thing, you really haven't hurt that much. And you taking that trip and firing that bullet, taking that baby step, made it clear that that was not what the Lord would have you do. But had you said, you know what, I'm just going to commit and go, and had you gone, it arguably would have been a rebellious thing, and you would not have been able to do what you've been able to do.